Welcome to the Antioch Word, a podcast for the Antioch College community. My name is Mary Evans, and I'm the 2018 Miller Fellow for WYSO. On today's episode, we will hear an interview with current Antioch student Mari Smith and college alumnus Paul Feinstein, class of 1968. Paul talks with Mari about why he chose Antioch and how beneficial co-op was to him.
Please tell us your name and your class year and your major at Antioch, and then where you currently live or where you're from.
I'm Paul Feinstein, class of 1968, grew up in Yellow Springs and left in 1978 to go to California, where I currently live. I retired about 20 years ago, and my wife and I live on a farm in Sebastopol, California.
So you guys own this farm and you operate it? That's amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome. A farm, a studio, have a large woodworking, metalworking studio there, and we have a large quantity of olive trees and fruit trees. And
that's awesome. That sounds very utopian. What initially do you think attracted you to Antioch College?
I had already nearly completed a degree in physics and chemistry in a college in the East Coast, and during that period of time, this was the beginning of the Vietnam War, and a lot of consciousness about place of science in society, and decided I wanted to take a philosophy degree before going on and finishing career degrees in science. So I came to Antioch in the philosophy department, finished the coursework for a philosophy degree, and then because it was the turbulent 60s, decided that a professional philosophy career was probably not my best suit and transferred over and finished a degree in engineering, the last engineering class for Antioch College. Because I was effectively local and had spent a lot of my adolescent years on the Antioch campus, attending theater and visiting people here. I knew the college. I knew it well, so there was really no question. When I decided to leave Rensselaer, which is where I was on the East Coast, I applied to Antioch and made a seamless transition without vacation from Rensselaer here, and the rest is history.
So if I understand correctly, you said that you grew up in Yellow Springs itself.
Around Yellow Springs. My father had a farm between Yellow Springs and Dayton on the Dayton-Yellow Springs Road. My parents, when we came here in 1951, were friends with Rod Serling. From Binghamton, New York, where both my mother and Rod Serling grew up and where I was born.
They grew up together?
Yes.
Or are they just... No,
well,
they
knew
were
each...
Friends.
No, they... They grew up there together.
Wow.
My mother says that he dated her. That may be apocryphal. In any case, they knew about the theater program here. So one of the first things I did as a child was show up for the Shakespeare performances in front of the main building. So I knew the campus well and spent a lot of time here. Bicycled from Dayton to Yellow Springs fairly frequently.
Nice. Wow. So, like, you could say that you went back to your roots, kind of,
sort
and reestablished. That's awesome. So, just moving on a little bit. So, did you complete 4 co-ops in your time here, or 3?
Well, officially 6 co-ops.
Oh, wow.
Most of which, it turns out, I got myself. Another bit of a long story. When I came here, I wanted co-ops in philosophy or some liberal arts field, because that was my major or my interest at the time. But the only co-op jobs that the co-op department had aplenty were science co-ops.
Mm.
So every time they went to get a co-op, they gave me a physics or a chemistry
co-op. Oh, no.
And I finally gave up in frustration and just I said, okay, I give up. I'll go back to science and I'll get my own jobs. So
that's very Antiochian of you just to figure it out.
At least 50% of my co-ops were ones I generated myself.
Wow. What was your most meaningful one out of all of that, or the thing that you feel like you learned the most out of?
That's a little difficult to say. I think I had one co-op at the Yellow Springs Instrument Company, which was meaningful and useful in that I went back there after graduate school and got to work there until I left town. That was very useful. I had one co-op that the college actually got for me. Teaching freshman chemistry and physics at Wilberforce University,
which
is a small historic black college in the area. And that was very useful and eye-opening because it got me some vision into what it was like to have young black people transition from wherever they were into a college experience, not always prepared. So for me, coming from very traditional college, traditional college background, it took some major readjustment of approach to be able to teach at that level. That was a good 6 month stint, which I did enjoy.
What was the most surprising thing about that co-op for you when you interacted with
these just
folks?
The fact that the majority of the students were actually not prepared for traditional college curriculum, and I had to readjust on the fly to backfill the mathematics and high school level chemistry and physics for some people, not everybody. But so it required, rather than the usual approach of teaching a plenary course to freshmen where they sit there and listen, it had to be much more hands-on and helping individual students.
Mm. Was that your most challenging co-op, you think?
Probably.
Yeah.
They were all different, especially the ones that I got myself. A lot of them were hard work, just regular jobs. They were all helpful. They earned money. At least I could pay my tuition.
Mm. Yeah, that's real. And so you said that you live currently on a farm in California. Mm-hmm. So would you say that any of your co-ops kind of influence the work you do today? Or to what extent do you think
Not
that
really.
Was possible?
No, my career was one of a lot of transitions. I had through Yellow Springs Instrument Company and my associations with people like Leland Clark, who was an Antioch graduate and a major influence on many people. I sort of transitioned from an engineering background to a medical background and pursued that for many years. And the last 13 years before I retired, I transitioned into biochemistry and cell biology. I was the research director at a biotech company in California, and actually pursued an interest that I'd had since Antioch in evolutionary biology. But that there are some Antioch connections there. I guess the principal one was following the career of Stephen Gould, who was an Antioch graduate.
So you said that, so if I hear you correctly, you're saying it didn't really affect your work, but it affected you in other ways, these co-ops, and the way that you thought and the way that you kind of perceived your environment.
Well, I think the process of being responsible for generating my own co-ops led me to the self-confidence and initiative taking that's common for many Antiochians, perhaps was instrumental in me getting the jobs that I did get and the confidence to accomplish whatever I was interested in by way of changing jobs and careers as I went along. Day I left Antioch. I was in Dayton, actually waiting for a car to be repaired, and saw a truck go by with a logo on it that I recognized from a company that had a small advertisement in a textbook. And I thought, I can get a job there. Immediately chased that truck all over Dayton, hoping it would show up at its office. And it did after a couple of hours. And I walked up to the receptionist and said, I'd like to speak to the chief engineer. As it happens, the chief engineer was there. He came out and we talked. And I said, I just graduated from Antioch College and I know something about your field. Hire me and I'll work free for a month. And at the end of the month, if you like the work I do, pay me. He hired me on the spot.
Wow.
And that was one of my very first engineering jobs.
You're listening to an interview with Antioch College alumnus Paul Feinstein. He spoke to current student Mari Smith last summer at the 2017 Antioch College reunion. Next, Mari and Paul talk about memorable places, informative moments at Antioch.
I think that's really interesting that you said that Antioch did not have major industries sort of represented, because I would say at least my generation of Antiochians is kind of very anti-corporation, and that's not really the goal anymore. That's not really what people talk about as, oh, this is what I'm reaching for. Would you say that that was a general sentiment shared, of that kids were interested in graduating and then immediately securing something like that?
Not really. Many of my cohorts had other destinations. If they were interested in public service, like the Peace Corps, which many did, they transitioned directly from their interest in social justice or community work directly into their own community, their home communities, and then started that process that was perhaps a more traditional entry into the workforce, volunteering, radio stations volunteering for community service. Some who knew they were going to medical school or graduate school, for example, the bubble just moved with them.
Many Antiochians, including myself, have often talked about like these moments of like enlightenment and transcendental experience while on the campus, whether that's, you know, staying up all night to watch the sunrise, having a really bizarre conversation at 5 a.m. Are there, just looking back now, what sort of experiences kind of come to mind and what sort of emotional kind of connection did you create during those experiences?
I don't think I had any transcendental experiences, but from the time that I started working at the radio station, I think that was the time that I began to be interested in community more than just a self-directed education. And so I spent almost 10 years at WYSO learning the ropes as a volunteer. I got my broadcast license and my engineer's license, and I subsequently got a general technical broadcaster's license. But it was an introduction from just having fun at the radio station to community building. And back in the late 60s, early 70s, WYSO was dedicated to community building. It still is. Not exactly a transcendental moment, but a gradual transition from being myopic and self-centered to being more interested in working in the community.
What was your favorite spot on campus while you were here? Where did you kind of find yourself, maybe reading a book or hiding away from everyone?
Oh, I never thought of that. The Glen.
Was that like an escape for you, or what sort of spot or what sort of space did that work?
Well, I've always been interested in natural history, and the Glen was always a very quiet spot. Not that many people going through it back then. I had been in the Glen a lot through another connection. So I always enjoyed going to the Glen to identify trees, look for insects and crayfish. And it was just a very peaceful place to be, still is. So when I needed a peace of mind or a place to think, I usually would go to someplace like the Outdoor Ed Center in Glen Helen. Very pretty place.
Like the Raptor Center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
I
now
love that
the Raptor
place.
Center?
Yeah.
It's lovely. It's a very quiet place. As a kid, I actually would go there as a Boy Scout. We had a retreat in that area.
Wow. So there's when you go there, you kind of have those memories to come back to when you just needed space.
Yeah. It's a very nice feature of Antioch College to have the Glen.
I agree. We want to see, especially Antioch, do something different for us. And we have been making it something different. And the college completely understands that, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like, the administration knows that. But then ultimately, like you said, if the whole concept of higher education as it is now will not support that model. I see it as Antioch can never reach its full potential and still say a accredited higher education place of higher education. Because ultimately Antioch is, in my mind, a broader community, a council of learning. It's not a place that can say, you know, like we can give you an A and that you can have a quantifiable amount of knowledge in this field, which is something we're, like I said, we're trying to do kind of both right now. And as a result, I think kind of both sides suffer. You can't really get this really great quantifiable education. I mean, that's not true. You can still get a great education. It's definitely not going to be the same sort of quantified education my friend's getting at Harvard as an engineer, you know? But then you're also not getting the full community piece, the full council of learning from each other, and really having the time invested in a community of educators, you know, and still have this agenda.
When I left high school and started thinking about higher education, it was much simpler. There was this body of knowledge out there, books of formulas and theories that we just had to absorb. And when we absorbed enough, we would be professors ourselves. Even in science, that's not true anymore, partly because the science is evolving so quickly. Its relevance to society is changing. I would say that you're right. This is the view of higher education as a fixed body of knowledge is evolving into how to function as a social network. Even science curriculums now at some schools like MIT and Harvard and Stanford are evolving more to workshops. how to work as a team to solve a problem. That was not really the focus when I was growing up. It was more like the hero scientist who individually solve problems, the Oppenheimers, the Manhattan Projects.
Right.
But I think it was even biology becoming clear to me, even back then, that this was not the right model. Interesting anecdote. Can't remember exactly when, but I took a course in evolutionary biology at Antioch.
You still offer that?
You do.
Yeah.
ever-changing field. And when it was back, this was maybe 1965 or 6, it was taught in such a primitive fashion using the old concepts of sort of directed evolution that is completely incorrect and out of style. And even back then, I knew it wasn't right. And even though it wasn't my career, at the academic career, at the point I've actually spent my whole life trying to correct those misperceptions and understand evolution on a molecular scale. I mean, that I think I've succeeded at. But it starts in some fashion by understanding that the coursework, the book, the professor doesn't have all the answers. The concept was wrong inherently. Mm-hmm. And those are informative moments.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
That was Antioch College student Mari Smith speaking with class of 1968 alumnus Paul Feinstein at the 2017 college reunion. You've been listening to the Antioch Word Podcast. I'm Mary Evans, the 2018 Miller Fellow for WISO. You can find more episodes of our podcast at wiso.org, on NPR One, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.